Hello and welcome to the Unite podcast, the B2B podcast by Europe's sustainable e-procurement platform, Unite. I'm your host, Sangeeta Nair, and I'm excited to bring you this episode from Unite's Global Corporate Communications Department. We are in May, and it's celebrated as a month of revival and growth. And while it may seem that this regeneration process has very little in common with the topic of today's podcast, let me assure you, it does. I have a very special guest with me here today, and we're going to be talking about taxes and why it's important for businesses to be financially transparent. Graham Drummond is head of communications at an organization operating internationally to champion responsible corporate tax conduct. Having previously worked on national awareness campaigns and behavior change projects, Graham is proud to be part of the Fair Tax Foundation team. He helps businesses demonstrate their commitment to paying their fair share of taxes and maintaining financial transparency. Welcome to the Unite podcast, Graham.
Thanks, Sangeeta. Thanks for having me. Excited to chat.
So let's start with the basics. Can you give us an overview of the Fair Tax Foundation and what it does?
Sure. So the Fair Tax Foundation is a not-for-profit social enterprise established by a team of tax justice, corporate responsibility, and ethical consumerism experts. So the team that founded the Fair Tax Foundation saw that nobody else wanted to go near corporate tax conduct, and there was an opportunity being missed. They knew that most businesses saw the positive social and economic value of their tax contributions, and that these companies should rightfully be recognized and celebrated. And so they created the Fair Tax Mark, a way to identify these businesses and allow them to show their stakeholders that they were committed to responsible tax conduct and financial transparency. This all started in the UK, and at first the Fair Tax Mark was only available to businesses and multinationals headquartered in the UK. But in 2021, following extensive consultation across the world, we opened it up to multinationals anywhere in the world through our global multinational business standard. We also run other initiatives like Fair Tax Councils and Fair Tax Week, which runs 8th to the 18th of June and is our big annual recognition of the businesses and organizations that are really proud to promote responsible tax and a celebration of the positive contribution it makes to society, like contributing to the public services that we all rely on.
Interesting. So before we dive into the benefit of paying taxes, could you tell our listeners a little bit more about your background and what led you to become part of this incredible team?
Yeah, so I actually worked previously for a charity in the UK that promoted the benefits of plant-based eating as a way to tackle climate change. Tax is obviously very different from food. But I was looking to join another organization that was working for the greater good to help solve a big problem and to do so in a positive manner. So I saw the advert for this position. I immediately applied and I was lucky enough to get the role. Obviously, coming from a very different industry, there was a learning curve, but it's been really eye-opening. And previously, I hadn't appreciated just how powerful tax can be as a force for good. The organization has grown since I joined a couple of years ago, and I was here when we internationalized as well, which was both a challenge and a real milestone for the organization and the comms team. So it's always really rewarding being able to promote these great businesses, obviously like Unite, who gain the Fair Tax Mark and become part of our global movement.
So that's a dream job right there, you know, using your skills and experience to create meaningful change.
Absolutely.
And speaking of meaningful change, we know paying the right amount of taxes benefits the economy and provides governments with necessary funds to invest in public goods and services. And this in turn improves the overall quality of life. So it's a disservice when companies don't pay the right amount of taxes, don't you think?
Of course, without a doubt. And, you know, let's be honest, we've all seen the headlines about certain big companies avoiding tax. And here's a stat that shocks me every time I hear it. Globally, close to 40% of multinational profits, that's around $1 trillion, are artificially shifted to tax havens each year. And that leads to a $240 billion reduction on corporate income tax revenue. you can't help but think what that could be spent on and the positive impact on societies it would have. As an organization, though, we try not to focus too much on the negative. And we're here to shout about those who are playing fairly, who are championing a level playing field for all businesses, and who are committed to the letter and spirit of the law. I think it's fair to say the vast majority of businesses are not aggressively avoiding tax, and they do realize the social impact of their contribution. And that's where a third-party independent assessment like the Fair Tax Mark really helps them demonstrate it. It's not just their word. It's backed up by a robust assessment and process. You know, we know from our own polling that people trust the Fair Tax Mark three times more than a company themselves just saying that they're doing the right thing. And as I just said, with coming from a different background, with me coming from the food industry, taxes, it's also a complicated subject for certain stakeholders, especially the public. There's lots of technical terms, you know, different calculations, things that only a finance professional would understand. So the Fair Tax Mark means they don't have to understand all those different things. They just know that the business is meeting a very high standard when it comes to tax. They can look at a company and see that they're contributing the right amount to public services like healthcare, roads, policing, flood defense, etc. We're looking at carrying out wider international polling soon. But again, from our UK polling, the vast majority of customers and employees want to shop with and work for businesses who are paying their fair share of tax. And Fair Tax Mark accreditation offers that reassurance at a glimpse without the individual needing to know a deep financial knowledge of these issues and having to trust the business on their own word. Those results actually from our polling have been consistently high over the last 7 years too, and it shows that tax conduct is an important issue. And we're launching a new report actually this Fair Tax Week that pulls together all this public data, so watch this space. I think it's also worth saying that the Fair Tax Mark can also help a business build trust in other areas, say ESG and sustainability, because by showing that they're committed to a higher level of integrity and transparency around corporate tax conduct and going the extra mile to gain accreditation, it's a cornerstone of good governance. And if businesses are getting that right, it may be that they're applying the same level of commitment to, say, their sustainability strategy, for example.
Yeah, which is why, you know, the accreditation was important for us as well. At Unite, we say that CSR also means corporate fiscal social responsibility. And now, speaking of responsible tax conduct and considering that it is the gold standard, is securing a Fair Tax Mark difficult? What kind of businesses have received it so far?
I wouldn't say it's difficult. I would say that it's a high bar accreditation. So the Fair Tax Mark isn't a self-assessment where a company can just go through a list of criteria, tick the box, and then get their logo at the other end. It's very thorough and very much about quality. So our accreditation team works closely with each business as they go through our criteria. So there's collaboration too. A lot of companies actually don't pass the assessment first time, but we're here to help them make changes that achieves best practice so they can be awarded with it. So the process isn't just a one-off thing. It helps them improve and strengthen their approach to tax. And obviously, we want to see businesses committed to leading-edge tax conduct. So we'll always do our best to help them make the changes to get there. But I think it needs to be recognized that it's our businesses that put the real work into becoming accredited. They're the ones who truly earn their Fair Tax Mark. In terms of businesses that are accredited, around 100 parent group businesses are certified with the Fair Tax Mark, and that covers circa 250 distinct trading brands across the world. We have a really nice mix of businesses too, from listed PLCs, large private businesses, all the way to social enterprises and small companies. There's a lot of businesses in the cooperative movement, for example, that have the Fair Tax Mark as well. In terms of multinationals, UK businesses like Lush and SSE were amongst the first to join the initiative. And most recently, we've welcomed Vattenfall in Sweden, Atlantia in Italy, obviously Unite in Germany, Ørsted in Denmark and Agrofair in the Netherlands. So all very different companies, from bath bombs to bananas and green energy to procurement solutions. But to have such a variety amongst our businesses in terms of industry, size, location, it's great. And it shows the appetite for businesses of all kinds to get behind Fairtax and demonstrate their credentials. From a selfish perspective, it certainly makes our job in the comms team interesting and different each time. And I really love that.
Bath bombs to bananas sound interesting. So what about companies with complicated tax structures? You know, is it difficult to follow the money when it comes to assessment in cases of beneficial ownership?
Well, I mean, our assessments actually firstly come down to the size and the location of a business, as we have different standards and criteria depending on that. So to take, for example, a multinational operating across different countries like Unite, we would assess against our global multinational business standard. And there's kind of five big areas that we look at when we go through the assessment. Beneficial ownership, as you say, is a really big one. That includes persons with significant control. So it's really important to find out who's behind a company, who's controlling it, who's benefiting from that company. We know that anonymously owned companies are one of the key things that money launderers and tax evaders use to hide illicit gains and taxable assets from the law and tax inspectors. So that's why we ask organizations identify the beneficial owners that have a shareholding of 5% or more. There's a lot of other stuff around beneficial ownership and transparency that's really important that I unfortunately don't have time to discuss today, but you know, I think it's really important to say that one of the things we cannot and do not do is provide a Fairtax mark accreditation to a subsidiary within a wider group of companies. So we always engage with the ultimate parent entity, so the whole group is assessed. And having good publicly accessible beneficial ownership data is really important for that. The second area I think that's really important is tax policy. Surprisingly, only a minority of businesses actually publicly state what their tax policy is and attempt to explain their motivations and conduct. It's not just important to have one, it's really important to go beyond simple pledges around tax evasion by having a detailed tax strategy.
So it's about the big five, right? I was reading about the big five,
Yeah, so the tax policy is about kind of stating that a business will adhere to the spirit and the letter of the law. That's something that's you know, central to us, the spirit and the letter of the law. And that they're not using tax havens artificially or secrecy jurisdictions, not underpinned by legitimate commercial activity. We look at governance as well. So strong governance frameworks facilitate the effective implementation of policy within a business. Board oversight and the board being involved is really essential for good governance, and we recognize that. So the designation of a named board director for the tax policy, for example, provides solid accountability and demonstrates to others inside and outside the business how serious that business views their tax conduct. You know, publicly providing a statement of successful compliance with that policy each year, again, shows that it's firmly embedded within that organization's system of governance. There's another area is financial and tax reporting transparency. So we would require that an organization's consolidated financial statements, which includes things like income statements, balance sheets, cash flow statements, to be publicly and easily accessible. They have to be out there. They have to be easily found by anyone. And that information helps people understand an organization's financial presence and impact. Country by country reporting is another key thing for us. So when you look at a business who's operating across many jurisdictions, you know, then breaking down their income and profit and other things in these different countries allows people to have an informed opinion on whether a business is paying the right amount of tax in the right place at the right time. And the last kind of thing that we would look at and really stress is important when it comes to our criteria is cash taxes paid. So when looked at over time, cash taxes paid provide the best available data for tracking the tax rate and any deviation from the expected headline rate of tax. Over time, it's a far more accurate means of measuring contribution than, say, total tax accounting accruals, which is often referred to as effective corporate tax rate. And that's not least because effective corporate tax rate includes deferred tax that may never actually materialize as cash taxes paid. And I will say it's entirely possible as well for an organization to secure a Fair Tax Mark accreditation whilst lawfully making little or no tax contribution over a given period. There are obviously genuine reasons that a company would have that if they're making a loss, for example. But we would still need those other things in place, the tax policy, the governance, the reporting. They need to be exemplary and fall within the spirit of the law. So they're the kind of five big areas we look at, and there's other things within those as well. If you have a look at our standards online, we look at things like related party transactions, whistleblowing policies, but the big five for us are beneficial ownership, tax policy, governance, tax reporting, and cash taxes paid. So that's how we kind of approach an assessment for a big multinational company.
And it also helps that, you know, I think the Fair Tax Foundation is aligned with the UN principles of responsible investment, I suppose. So how long does it typically take between, let's say, an application and accreditation process? I mean, I know you have to weigh in and sometimes you look at, you know, information over a five-year period to look for discrepancies and things like that. So is it a laborious process? Does it take a long time?
I think our accreditation team actually really like it. But I think every business is completely different. That's one of the amazing things about business. It's every single business is unique, and that's something that we appreciate. So depending on the business size, the country they're based in, their structure, where they operate, and where they are with their journey in responsible tax conduct and financial transparency, it can vary. Sometimes things might need to be agreed at the board level of a company too. So there's that. But ultimately, though, I think it's not about rushing or doing it as quickly as possible. As I said before, there's a real element of quality with the Fair Tax Mark. And I think once businesses do attain it, they know and appreciate that process, even if it's taken a little bit of time. So for a multinational company, it takes about 8 weeks for our team to carry out a full assessment. And then it's up to the business to implement anything they need to do so they can get over the line and be awarded the Fair Tax Mark. So our accreditations team, you know, a really skilled bunch of people, incredibly efficient. So a lot of the time it kind of just comes down to how quickly the business can implement any changes needed. And as I say, we work closely with each business the whole way through the process, and everything's treated confidentially. So there's always someone at the Fair Tax Foundation who is guiding each business and is the, you know, the contact through the whole process.
And if I recall, you said since 2021, you know, you've opened up this process worldwide. And so how does Europe generally fare when it comes to statistics regarding transparency in paying corporation taxes? Do you have more companies applying for the accreditation from Europe?
Well, we're growing in Europe, which is fantastic. And we're in, as I mentioned earlier, multiple countries across Europe now. In terms of how Europe fares generally in terms of transparency and paying corporate taxes, it's really tough to answer. Obviously, we're talking about a huge number of businesses across many countries that all have different tax rates, policies, and financial cultures too. But what I would say is that Europe has slipped backwards regarding beneficial ownership, which we were talking about earlier. So late last year, there was a ruling from the EU Court of Justice that meant that member states in the EU were no longer required to guarantee access to beneficial ownership registers to any member of the public. And that's a real blow to transparency and the organizations who work to stop the flow of dirty money, journalists and civil society, who obviously play an important watchdog role, and obviously foreign authorities who investigate crime that spans borders. That makes it harder to find out who the ultimate owner and person benefiting from a business is. And that's an unfortunate step backwards. But on the other hand, in Europe at the moment, the number of businesses publishing country-by-country reporting is increasing rapidly, and that'll soon be mandatory for large multinationals operating across the EU, albeit with some substantial loopholes. The EU Public Country-by-Country Reporting Directive came into force in 2021, and that's now being placed into the legislation of EU member states. Romania, I'll give a shout out to them, was the first to enact it back in January. So that's real progress, even though it's not perfect. It means that many more businesses will have to break down their income, profit and tax in each country that they operate, and make that data available. And as I mentioned earlier, that allows stakeholders, all these different people, to form a rounded view of whether a business is paying the right amount of tax. And it's something that investors are particularly interested in too. We talk to a lot of investors. It may highlight emerging financial and reputational risks, for example, that they then factor into their decisions. So there's different groups watching this for different reasons. And I think for many tax justice organizations, public country-by-country reporting is the number one demand. The second would be beneficial ownership. So let's hope that gets back on track. But our Fair Tax Mark multinationals are ahead of the curve on both issues and leading the way. So hopefully inspiring, and more will follow suit.
And if I'm not mistaken, the foundation celebrates its 10th anniversary next year. And do you have any key milestones that, you know, the foundation aspires to accomplish in the coming years as part of this?
I think our goal is to carry on our expansion of the Fair Tax Mark across Europe and the world, continue promoting these amazing companies who understand, recognize and celebrate their contribution, the contribution that their corporation tax makes to society. Responsible tax conduct, it's always been a key part of business ethics and good governance, but it's now becoming more prominent than it ever has been. And whether that's through an ESG lens, a government legislation perspective, or just progressive businesses recognizing it as rightfully sitting alongside their commitments to things like the environment, as a corporate and social issue, it's coming into its own. And I think we're all really excited to see how this moves forward, and for the Fair Tax Foundation to welcome more businesses who want to be at the front of these developments and lead the way. And just to finish, you mentioned Fair Tax Week earlier. I think we've got a really great offering with Fair Tax Week this year. And for the first time, we've actually expanded the week beyond the UK. So we have a series of webinars looking at hot topics like ESG, public country-by-country reporting, public attitudes, tax havens, and more. We have award-winning journalists, experts, and some really interesting speakers in the UK, Germany, Norway, Brazil, Brussels, and other countries. So, you know, I think I recommend that people take a look at what's going on and come and register for the webinars and join in. Help us make it our best year yet and come celebrate with us.
So thank you, Graham. I wish you luck in your future endeavors. I know it's a busy time for you with the Fair Tax Week right around the corner. So on that note, we've come to the end of our 38th episode, and it's reassuring that organizations like the Fair Tax Foundation are actively working towards a more equitable future. If your company is committed, like Unite, to demonstrate that you're paying the right amount of corporation tax, please contact the Fair Tax Foundation. At Unite, we believe connecting the economy with sustainable business practices is the key to building a better future. To learn more about our e-procurement platform, visit unite.eu. You can also write to us at podcast@unite.eu. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Join us again next time for more thought-provoking discussions at the Unite podcast. Bye for now.